Hey, this is Brandon McManus, Denver Broncos Super Bowl champion, and you listen to The Scoop on AlScoop.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Scoop, AlScoop.com's official podcast. Official podcast, only podcast. It makes it sound like they're imposter Al Scoop podcast out there, but
I don't burner Al Scoop podcast out there. They are not us. Do not subscribe to them.
Exactly. A lot of chatter out there about imposter Al Scoop podcast.
It's like when celebrities make their social media handles official, like official Sam Newman or like B Sam Newman or like, yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah. Imposter Sam Newman's no one's following.
Are you telling me that I'm a celebrity now?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
With the scoops you're getting?
Yes. This is the official AlScoop.com podcast. I'm John DiCarlo. The voices you hear with me here today are that of Sam Cohn and Sam Newman. Kyle Gallus is off today. We miss him. Hopefully he'll be with us next week, but who knows? Maybe an imposter Kyle Gallus will be with us next week. So anyway, a lot of stuff to get into today. The next week or two and covering football will be really interesting. A lot of what we're going to be talking about today is, and you guys know this from last year. It's certainly not a new phenomenon, but how much the transfer portal has changed college football. Temple could be taking a dent because of it. And we know that already with the departure of Anthony Russo, and they could be benefiting from it too. They've added a couple of players since we last talked to you. While Anthony Russo has entered the portal, Temple has landed a commitment from Ravon Bonner, running back from Illinois. And then last night, we're recording this on a Thursday, they got a commitment from Washington State defensive lineman Will Rogers. And I think, it's going to change things in the future. I think the days of, and we might have mentioned this last week, the days of seeing programs sign 20 to 25 guys probably are not going to be as common. So we're going to be talking a lot about the transfer portal in this episode. As of now, Temple basketball does have a season opener. They will be playing NJIT, the New Jersey Institute of Technology, on December 19th. We've been talking to you guys about that for a while. We had first reported that a deal was close to being finalized. So that game's going to be played at 4:30 p.m. at the Leocor Center on ESPN+. The only NCAA program starting on a later date is New Mexico. They're playing Boise State on the 21st. So again, you guys know by now how much the pandemic has affected college sports, certainly college football, and now college basketball. So we'll talk about college basketball as well. Talk about the basketball outs, but let's talk first about this football program. Again, a 1-6 Temple team that had its season shortened due to the pandemic at the front end of it. And then the back end of it, the Cincinnati game was canceled. So let's talk first about Anthony Russo, his decision to enter the transfer portal that happened after we talked to you guys on last week's podcast. I think, and we'll talk about this in a second, I'll be mildly surprised. We know some of the names that are out there. I want to kind of drill down on that over these next few days and get more information for you guys. But I think we'll be totally shocked if Temple does not add a quarterback through the transfer portal. But we know that Anthony Russo has left. Where he ends up, we're not sure. It looks like the Michigan State staff is following him a good deal on Twitter. But what do you make of this, guys? I mean, we know what the obvious loss of Russo is. Yes, on the downside of things, when you look at his game, we've talked ad nauseum about how his trusting his arm talent got him in trouble. We know about some of the untimely interceptions he'd throw. But you're still losing your bona fide starter who, again, obviously didn't get to play in his last three games, got hurt, didn't play against Tulane, didn't play against SMU, and then was set to come back against UCF, got contact traced. And then, little do we know that would be the last we'd see of him in a Temple uniform. But what do you make of this, guys? What are the ramifications? Were you surprised by it? Or is this something you might've seen coming?
Well, when I first saw the notification and got it, I was surprised, but then you kind of thought about it. I was like, okay, this makes sense. I think you look at the product of college football and what it is right now, that the transfer portal is just going to be what it is. Essentially, it's you see people maybe transferring up a level. Like in the case of Anthony Russo, maybe he's wanting to do what Quincy Roche did and then transfer up a level to Power 5 before you know, another year to the NFL. But to be fair to Anthony, if the in a non-pandemic world, this was his last year of eligibility, and he would have been done at Temple. So theoretically, let's say that. But I mean, to me, it makes sense for him to do this. I think if you're just going to look at, he wants to play a level up. I know what his numbers are at Temple. I know what he would have been able to do in a year three of this offense. You know, he didn't really get to show that, but to me, it wasn't all that surprising. And just talking about maybe the ramifications of it, I think, like you said, John, I would be shocked if they didn't bring in a transfer quarterback at this point. And then you have somebody like Trad Betty, Matt Duncan, and Mariano Valenti, who they like, also Justin Lynch coming in. So it hurts them in terms of, you know, the short tenure, just because short term, just because of who Russo is, the type of camaraderie they have with offensive line receivers, that sort of stuff. And, you know, maybe having to bring in a transfer portal starter to learn a new offense, but it hurts. But I think it's one of those things where it's like, okay, this stings, but you know, it's definitely a fixable situation.
I would agree with Sam. I think short term, it's not the best situation, but at the same time, like just based on the fact that we've talked about this before on this podcast, that this season exposed the talent gap after Anthony Russo. I mean, there were so many discussions of, you know, coming into the season, is Real Mitchell going to be is there a world where Real Mitchell takes the starting spot four games in the shortened season? Is there a world where Trad Betty looks like he could be the starter on this team? And we got a chance to see both of those guys play. We got a chance to see six different quarterbacks play for Temple under center this season. And there's a very clear talent gap after Anthony Russo. So I think that in the short term, that Sam's right, it's a tough loss, because then when you look at the depth chart after him, who's going to step up would be a huge question mark. Sam talked about a couple of the younger guys that the coaching staff likes a lot, but I think as of right now, you're probably looking at bringing in a transfer.
Yeah. So looking farther down the roster again, and we'll continue to talk about the quarterback position again, just before we go on to the other positions here, I think this almost, as we've said, almost makes it certain that they'll bring in a transfer. Reese Udinski was a name from VMI, a Bucks County kid. His name's been mentioned. Although Kyle pointed out to us that Udinski said he plans to play for VMI in the spring, so that might take him out of the running for Temple, who I would imagine might want to get a transfer in during spring ball. And I think ultimately you might see a bigger name coming in at some point. We'll see. But again, I think it will be, as we've said before, mildly surprised if they don't bring in a transfer quarterback, who that might be, whether it's a younger guy or older guy, we'll have to see. If it's an older guy, it allows someone like Matt Duncan to develop, allows Justin Lynch to develop. Again, he'll only be 17 years old when he's coming in from Mount Carmel High School in Chicago. But and this could have some ripple effects. I'm sure people are wondering, okay, if Anthony Russo is not coming back, does that mean that Jaden Blue and Randall Jones sit there and say, well, if our veteran starting quarterback isn't coming back, do I really want to start over with somebody new? I think that'll depend. You know, again, I think these next few weeks and even in the spring ball, everything's different now with the portal, especially if the one-time transfer thing goes through, that's supposed to be discussed on December 16th. And there's nothing holding the guy back from leaving, could turn into even more of a free-for-all. But I think depending on who they bring in, I think if guys like Randall Jones and Jaden Blue don't make their intentions known before them, I think it'll be really interesting to see how maybe the arrival of a new quarterback might impact, you know, the decisions of Randall Jones and Jaden Blue. If Temple does bring in a notable name as a transfer and that motivates Jaden Blue and Randall Jones to stay, then, you know, you got something there. If they leave, wouldn't be totally surprised. Running back, we know that, of course, Ray Davis was suspended, then initially decided to, you know, put his name in the transfer portal, committed to Vanderbilt, then he put some other social media post out there, and then I don't know if he recommitted to Vanderbilt. He committed to Vanderbilt just before Derek Mason got fired. Derek Mason gets fired. Vanderbilt still does not have a coach, but Ray Davis wants you to know that he committed to Vanderbilt. So he's not coming back. What does that mean with him going out the door? So Tavon Rooley started, but, you know, as reporters, we sit back and say, okay, let's look through the lens of this recruiting class and the transfer portal. And we wonder what the Temple coaching staff with Rod Carey, Mike Yuremovich and his staff, Gabe Infante, what do they think of their running backs? And we'll see, you know, whether guys like Kyle Dobbins, Ed Sadie, Onassis Neely, if those guys stick around, if they can make an impact. You saw them get a handful of carries later on in the season, but they did go out and add so far one. And I think we might've said on last week's podcast that we might expect one, if not two, transfer running backs to be added through the portal. Well, they've added one so far, Ravon Bonner from Illinois. He played for Temple wide receivers coach Thad Ward at Illinois. Through his career at Illinois, he rushed 204 times for 822 yards and 10 touchdowns. The best stretch of his career came toward the end of his 2018 sophomore season. He rushed for 81 yards against Nebraska and then 96 yards against Iowa. Sat out the 2020 season this fall due to the pandemic, decided to opt out. So again, that goes to show you that, you know, just because they bring in a, and I'll toss this over to you guys as well, just because they bring in a guy like Bonner may not necessarily mean that they're giving up on Tavon Rooley, but it might show you that, you know, hey, we like Tavon Rooley. He's got a decent story. Penwood kid just outside the city, you know, went to Valley Forge Military Academy. You know, we've documented his career, how he came in to Temple as a walk-on, earned the scholarship at the end of last season. But if I'm reading the tea leaves here, I think it tells you, okay, we like Tavon, but in a perfect world, they know that they need to upgrade the talent there. And in a really, really good program, and I'm not trying to take a shot at Tavon Rooley. I think in a really good program, Tavon Rooley is a backup, maybe a 10 or 12 carry a guy game. And again, I haven't seen Ravon Bonner play live. You know, he obviously was good enough to play in the Big Ten. You know, is it going to be a backfield by committee type of situation? We'll see. But I wouldn't be totally surprised if they're not done there in terms of adding transfers. But I mean, are you guys reading this in the same way that you think, okay, we might like some of these younger guys, but you know, if they're still going out and scouring a transfer portal for a guy like Bonner, maybe someone else, that means they're not totally sold on the talent they have in the backfield.
Yeah. I mean, I would take it as, I don't think that they are, not that they don't like Tavon really, but I don't think they're ready to hand him the keys to be a bell cow back. And I think that he showed you that when he was playing with Ray Davis, that this guy can be a good change of pace back for sure. I mean, he was much more efficient. And then, I mean, it was kind of less efficient when he was getting, you know, between 20, 25 carries a game after Ray Davis left. So I think they go off the principle of that. I mean, the young back showed you stuff, but does it make you confident enough that you can go in without adding another back? To me, that's not, you know, I wouldn't say so. I think that they do like Neely. They do like Dobbins. They do like Sadie. They all bring something different to the table, but I think they would be remiss not to add a transfer running back. And like we've mentioned, you know, maybe two is the possibility, but I feel like somebody like Ravon Bonner, you know, adds a different element that they don't have. And even if they're done adding that, I mean, we don't know there, but if they're gone out in there, you maybe could see Bonner as somebody who they like is to be the bell cow back and really is a change of pace back, and then mixing and matching those backs in like they did last season. I think that's ideally what they like to do, but you know, it's kind of a wait and see thing at this point. But I would be shocked if Tavon Rooley is getting 20-25 carries again next season. That just doesn't look like something that's going to happen.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think they like what they've seen from Tavon Rooley and getting Onassis Neely back on the field this season. I think they've liked what they've seen from the two of them, but that's not essentially what you want your starting running back. Or maybe, John, as you had mentioned, a potential running back by committee. I think bringing in Bonner could level up the running backs room a bit and be a good addition. But I agree with both you just said. Yeah.
All right, so also through the transfer portal, Temple has added, as we mentioned at the outset of the show, Washington State defensive lineman Will Rogers committed to Temple Wednesday night. He started 19 games at Washington State, played just sparingly this season. Washington State's only played 3 games in the Pac-12, played a little bit at the beginning of the season, got injured, never really came back. But at Washington State, he started 19 games, recorded 14 tackles for a loss, 8 sacks, including 4 apiece in the last 2 seasons. Seems like a pretty versatile piece and a pretty good player for these guys to add in the transfer portal. Again, we understand, again, going back to the whole idea of the transfer portal, will Dan Archibong be back? Will Ifan Maje be back? Rod Carey was asked about it. I think I asked him a couple weeks ago, do you have an idea of who's coming, who's going? He said, you know, with some guys I do, some guys I don't. I would prefer that these guys make their own announcement. I don't want to steal their thunder there, which I can totally understand. Again, I think it's a position where they would probably want to add depth regardless, because I think Rod and you know, his staff and Jeff Knowles and Walter Stewart, their defensive line coach. You know, again, it's a place where you want to add depth anyway. And yeah, I don't have a good read just yet on whether Maje and Archibong might be back. But, you know, regardless, even if those guys are coming back, seems like a pretty good addition here. A guy who could play either inside, outside. You know, if Arnold Ebiketie is coming back, if, again, anybody's eligible to come back because it was an eligibility free season. But seems like, unless I'm missing something, seems like this is a pretty good addition for them out of the Pac-12.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. He seems like a defensive – I mean, he's a starter at that Power 5 level. Yeah, I mean, you can't really complain about that. He's a guy who seems like he can play all four positions on the defensive line. It looks like Washington State moved him from defensive tackle to edge rusher. Maybe a depth piece, maybe a starter. We don't really know how that's going to mix. We don't I mean, you get the sense that maybe guys like Manny Walker, Dan Archibong, Ifan Maje might have some unfinished business, might want to come back. We just don't know. That's something that remains to be seen. But, I mean, if they all come back, Will Rogers is a guy who's versatile and can play along the line. And obviously we saw the defensive line show flashes of potential. There's a lot. Evan Boozer, Manny Walker, Arnold Ebiketie, you know, they played well off the edge inside, kind of left a lot to be desired. Dan Archibong did have a good season, though. So, I mean, adding a guy like Will Rogers to the mix can't hurt, even if they are pretty deep there.
So 15 guys, before we transition over to basketball here, again, keep your eyes peeled, stay locked in with us at alscoop.com. As more additions come up through the transfer portal, as more defectors come up through the transfer portal, we will, of course, have you covered and keep you posted. As of now, when we look ahead to next week, December 16th, that first day of the early signing period, as of now, Temple has 15 verbal commitments. We'll see how things shake out. Again, I think the days of, we've said it already, the days of signing, you know, 20 plus guys, depending on what your numbers are, I don't know, could be a thing of the past now with so many guys coming and going through the transfer portal. I think it is really, really, and I'm stating the obvious here, I think it's really changed the game of college football. Sam Newman, I'll throw this over to you real quick before we transition out to basketball. They've got 15 guys committed right now. You think we see 15 guys signed next week? You expecting a defection, an addition here? And again, we're talking about just guys that are truly coming out of high school. We're not talking about, yeah, I think any of the transfers that they add, you'll see them the way colleges typically do it, and the way Temple at least does it. You'll see that in their signing day release next week, even though guys like, you know, like the transfers that they have here, like Rayvon Bonner and Will Rogers, I think you'll see them listed next week as signees, even though they're not your traditional high school recruits. But of the 15 guys that are on the commitment list that you see on alscoop.com right now, any guys that you think might be in question there based off of just the phone calls and just the reporting that you've done here, anybody you think that could still be up in the air?
The two names that come to mind are Johnny Martin III and Rakeem Cooper. Nothing with Martin would seem like he wouldn't sign, but I mean, when I asked him, he said he didn't know when he was going to sign, but I was told by a couple of other people that he would be an early enrollee. So that might be a situation to watch. Cause if, you know, if he was going to be an early enrollee, he would need to sign obviously on the 16th. So that's a name. And I know John heard other things, but, that's a name to watch for sure. And Rakeem Cooper, he's given me every indication that he's going to sign. But if you know, follow the tea leaves and see that he started to follow, you know, a bunch of Division II programs on Twitter, that's something worth monitoring. He's a kid from Matter Day Prep. I think he can play both offensive line and defensive line. I could be mistaken, but I think they like him more as an offensive lineman here. So those are two names. I know that, you know, Corey Palmer, guy from, you know, from Camden. He went to IMG, but came back, I think, to Camden. You know, that's a name to watch too. I know that we have learned that Temple is in a good spot with him. He's in there. They're in there, his top five. He should be announcing shortly, obviously, with signing day coming up. So, you know, I feel like maybe that they'd like to keep that number at 15, and maybe Palmer could be a guy that takes over from one of those two. You don't know, but I think, you know, they're probably rock solid on 13 of those guys for sure.
Speaking of basketball, as we do transition over to hoops, because now it looks like, as for now, we have a firm date for what looks like the season opener. When you look at Will Rogers, the Washington State transfer, Temple does have a maybe a little bit of an in there. His younger brother, Ty Rogers, is a four-star small forward at Grand Blanc High School in Michigan. He is currently the 75th ranked player in the 2022 class with a bunch of Power Five offers, an offer from Florida State, Marquette, Maryland, Michigan, Michigan State. But, you know, a little bit of an in there. We'll have to see if Temple gets in the mix with his recruitment. And again, stay tuned with more football stuff. But as we switch over to basketball here and talking about recruiting before we get onto the NJIT game, you saw at one point that Temple was in the top five for Jameel Brown from the Haverford School, committed this week to Purdue. Kind of goes to show you that a coach like Matt Painter and maybe a Big Ten school like Purdue, it's early. It's not super early for a class of 2022 kid to commit, but it is pretty early. I think it just goes to show you that a coach like Matt Painter, I don't know this, but I'm guessing that he probably said, hey, here's the spot that's available. I would take an educated guess that he might have said, hey, here's when we want you to decide by, either commit or we move on to somebody else. And, you know, without talking to Jameel Brown, you know, Armand Sette did talk to him a few months ago. We had a story on Jameel Brown and his thoughts on Temple. But another local kid that, although he decided early that Temple did not get, I'm of the opinion that, you know, I've said so many times on this podcast before that you have to get difference-making players regardless of where you get them, whether you get them from Philly, whether you get them from North Carolina, North Jersey, South Jersey, wherever. But I feel like they got a kid. They have to get a kid like this eventually. Another top 150 local guy that comes and goes. What'd you guys think of this? Were you surprised? Did you think the Temple had a shot at him, or does this kind of seem like a little bit more of the same in an area where they have to eventually make a dent?
I would say a little bit of both. I think it's definitely, as you kind of mentioned, it's an area where Aaron McKee and the Temple program has to make a dent. They have to be able to get the local kid that's also Rivals top 100 or, you know, ranked in the country, but also kid from North Philly, like Jameel Brown is. But I don't know. Jameel Brown did have Temple in his top five. I would have said they definitely had a good chance based on reading some of the quotes that he gave Armand were telling in the least, that he said, you know, if I can play to school in North Philly, like my whole family can come out, I feel like I can get all North Philly to come out to our games in the Leah Core Center, be rocking. Like, that's the mindset he had of, like, if he were to choose to come to Temple. But at the same time, it's hard to compete with a school like Purdue and a coach like Matt Painter. Yes, if you're Temple, you'd love to get the North Philly kid to stay in North Philly. That was the narrative when Aaron McKee became the head coach, is he lived that dream. Now get kids to kind of follow in his footsteps of being from North Philly, stay in North Philly, play at Temple, and then see where that takes you. But it's a tough loss. I think they definitely had a chance on him, but in the end, Purdue won out.
And when we look ahead at the 2021 class, they should probably have one more spot. It looks that Brandon Sanders probably not going to be part of this 2021 class. They didn't announce him as a signee in the early period, whereas Hassir Miller and Zach Higgs did sign. I'd be shocked if Temple took anything other than a transfer there, whether it's going to be, you know, just a combo guard that can score. If you're looking for a wing forward, I think they're kind of open there as of now. I think, again, we'll have to see what the scholarship numbers look like. Again, due to the pandemic, everything is ineligibility for a year. You know, if Dre Perry says, hey, I want to come back for one more year, do they say, okay, you know, and you can go over your scholarship limit for a year. Again, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Sam, you've got a name for us from the 2022 class that they could be looking for out of Florida, or could be looking at out of Florida.
Yeah, Anthony Brown, I believe he goes by AJ Brown from Orlando Christian Prep in Kissimmee. How do you pronounce
it? I thought it was Kissimmee, Florida. All my
Kissimmee
friends who are baseball beat writers probably laugh at me.
From Kissimmee, Florida. He does have a couple other offers. He's not officially been offered by Temple, but he did have a Zoom call with Temple's entire coaching staff the other night. So he has offers from Alabama, Hofstra, USF, and Stetson. He's got a handful of other schools in on him that have not offered, a couple bigger names like Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Iowa State, the U, UCF, Western Kentucky, so on and so forth. So definitely a kid to keep an eye out for. you know, I'm hoping to get in touch with them sometime soon, but another kid in that 2022 class to look at after my assumption is they didn't get Jameel Brown. So they're pivoting their focus to this three-star kid from Florida.
Mm-hmm. All right. So again, we'll obviously continue to keep you updated on any basketball recruiting news that comes out. We got a couple mailbag questions for you today, but before we get to those, also want to talk a little bit more about this current edition of the Owls. So obviously they were supposed to play NJIT initially back in, last month, this, right guys?
Yes. November 19th, I think.
Yeah. So we'd been hearing over the last couple of weeks that they were looking to get at least one non-conference game before they were set to play Houston. And now who knows what's going to happen with the Houston game, because Houston announced a pause, due to their COVID protocol. So, but Temple has officially announced, as we expected, that they will be playing NJIT on December 19th at the Leah Kors Center. It looks as of now that our very own Sam Cohn will be there. He'll tell us what it's like to cover a college basketball game in this COVID era. Again, we keep hearing that they're only going to have 250 people in the building, period, masked up, socially distanced. I don't know if the players will be wearing masks. They'll be testing every day, but who knows? But Sam will be there sporting a mask, covering college basketball for us.
I need to get an Owl Scoop mask before I go.
Yeah, we'll get Owl Scoop masks made. So again, barring anything unforeseen between now and, you know, what, the next 9 days here, Temple should be opening its season. Again, whether they eventually tip off against Houston or enter that eventual conference stretch that could be challenging, if there is a team that needs a tune up and needs to get on the court and play as much as anybody else in the country, really, it's Temple, because of, you know, the roster overhaul that we've talked about, all the new faces. We've got a mailbag question about Ty Strickland, whether or not he's going to be ready. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, we know that Brendan Barry is now in the mix, hasn't really been able to really get acclimated with his new team, finished up his coursework at Dartmouth. He'll be in the mix for Temple now. Caliph Battle did get his waiver approved. The former North Jersey star, well, Trenton Catholic star, is eligible. That's a big piece for Temple. But what are you expecting to see next week? Or actually, before we get to that, Sam, you've been texting a little bit with Brendan Barry, right? But we don't know officially. He told you he doesn't know officially if he'll be able to practice between now and.
Yeah, he said that he's still in the process of figuring out when they're going to get him on the court, but he's hoping it'll be soon. I mean, I think with that, you can kind of connect the dots and assume that he's not going to be ready to play this NJIT, but that's just kind of a shot in the dark, even for us.
Unless Aaron McKee says, all right, Brendan, get in the game and come off a screen or hang out in the corner and just
shoot, let it fly. Some three, just give him the green light.
Just pop it, you know, just
hey, if they're up 25 on NJIT and Brendan Barry hasn't practiced a single minute, but he's dressed, do you throw him in?
Sure.
And say, Brendan, you got the green light. Let's see it, kid.
It's 2020. The kid can shoot. Get him in there.
I wouldn't – you risk maybe him pulling a hammy or something when they haven't been out there for a while. So tell him to play corner the corner and see if he can knock down a couple threes.
This is exactly rec league Sam Newman coming through.
He hasn't played basketball in over a year. We can't afford him. That's some New York Jets roster management throwing him out there. And
I would also assume he's been playing. He's been playing pickup. He's been working out.
Oh yeah.
Would be scared.
Yeah. But yeah. I think we've known so far Aaron McKee to be a pretty cautious guy. And again, by no means are we saying that this current Temple team is a top two, top three team in the American, just because of all the new faces. I think we can all agree. I think, again, for whatever our predictions are worth, which is probably not much, but you know, they might be a 500 team, but that should be a winnable game for them. Who knows? Maybe Brendan Barry gets in there, but again, now you'll get to see a little bit of, you know, or maybe a lot of Jeremiah Williams. You won't see Jaleel White. He's out, could be out much of, if not the whole year due to his meniscus surgery. Won't see Sage Tolbert, probably won't see him, if you see him at all, maybe late in February as he continues to rehab from a knee injury that he had at Southeast Missouri State. But you'll see Jeremiah Williams. You'll see, you know, what Dre Perry and JP Mormon and Jake Forrester is, those three. And of course, Damian Dunn as well, who might be one of the better shooters on the team. So again, if finally, again, this is the 2020 and me, talk to us next week. Hopefully the game actually gets played. We know what the testing guidelines are leading up to the game, playing a game in the Lee Corps Center in the city of Philadelphia. Just for their sake, I hope that they can get the game in. It'll be on ESPN Plus. We'll get to see just a short glimpse, an initial glimpse of what Aaron McKee has. But again, as I said at the outset of this, what do you guys, again, we'd be lying if we said we dove headfirst into a lot of NJIT film, but if we're looking at Temple, what are you expecting to see in the opener, in addition to obviously the new faces? I mean, what are you guys looking for specifically, other than just being excited to see a college basketball game?
I'll start with this. Looking at NJIT, they have not played a game yet. They look like they're slightly on the, like their guards are slightly on the smaller side. Mm-hmm. 5'10", 6', like 6'4" is probably their biggest guard, 6'2". So they have slightly smaller guards, which, as we've talked about transitioning into what we're going to see from Temple, is that Temple's backcourt has some size to it, and Temple's team as a whole has some size to it. So I think that's one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing. But I think the biggest thing that I'm probably looking forward to seeing with this team, and the biggest thing I'm interested in seeing, is how the backcourt plays out. I think we kind of know to an extent what we're getting from guys like Jake Forrester and JP Mormon and Dre Perry. We know their games. We know how they play. The big question is, are they going to take that step up? But in terms of the backcourt, you don't totally know what you're getting with Damian Dunn, who has 18 minutes of experience, Ty Strickland, who hasn't played in a year, transferred from Wisconsin, played sparingly there. And then a bunch of guys who we haven't really seen much of play an actual game beyond some film that we can find. So seeing guys like Jeremiah Williams, seeing guys like Quincy Adamakoya, even Nick Jourdain, we're not going to see Jaleel White, but seeing guys like that get onto a court in a college game, how quickly do they adapt? How quickly do their games translate? And what are they able to do in game one? Because nerves are going to be high. There's going to be first game jitters, and it's going to be intense. Like, at playing at home, first game of the season, first game of your college career, first real game of your college career for a lot of these guys, is going to be an interesting test. And yes, against NJIT, we're not going to speak of super highly on this podcast because it's NJIT. But at the same time, I think there's something to be said about it'll be interesting to see how some of these younger guys adapt. And then just the way the chemistry works on the floor with, again, you have essentially 10 new pieces to this team, and seeing how that plays out.
I think, and we've asked college football players about this. I think one of the most interesting basic questions to ask these guys after the game will be, I mean, if you're anybody, but especially a new guy like Jeremiah Williams, what's going through your mind? Again, if he ends up starting the game at the point, what's it like playing your first college basketball game after not having seen the campus in person? You play your first college basketball game at home in front of no fans. How nervous are you? Does it change your nerves? Yes, you're playing for a guy that played 13 seasons in the NBA and played with Allen Iverson and all that stuff. It's just such a weird, weird set of circumstances. Again, I think we're all grateful that there are games as long as they can play safely and in healthy fashion. But just seems so bizarre. But I think it's such a weird.
Here's the thing I will say. If that is a circumstance where you have a freshman or where you have potentially a freshman starting and likely a lot of freshmen or underclassmen playing in their first game after not having really played a legit basketball game in almost a year, whatever it may be, not having a crowd might not be the worst thing in the world.
Sure. Yeah.
It's going to feel like a scrimmage. Mm-hmm. It's going to feel like a practice. It's not going to feel as intense. So there's two kind of ways to look at it. One, it'll ease their nerves. It'll calm their nerves off the jump. But two, if you're Aaron McKee, you still need to get to light a fire under these guys right off the tip. And, you know, they need to feel that energy, and you need to hype them up before the game. You need to keep them amped up. You need to keep the bench loud. You got to keep that energy from the bench and keep the energy from within, because you're not going to get that from a crowd. And this is something, you know, few of these guys have really experienced playing at this level, and B, playing in front of, you know, actually no one. There's going to be what, 15 of us in the stand, like media in the stands. We're not even going to be courtside. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. And just like off the first tip, what are those first couple of possessions look like for this team? Chemistry wise, are they pushing the pace the same way? Is Aaron McKee going to say, slow yourself down, work your way into the game? Don't try to make the home run play on the first possession. Don't try to steal a tip and, you know, get a fast break layup off the tip. You know, ease yourselves in, play the half court, and then kind of find your groove.
Yeah. So again, just as a reminder, follow Sam Cohn for our coverage that day. We will have coverage of the game.
Maybe so I'll vlog.
Yes.
Maybe I'll vlog my day at covering college basketball in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. Will there be pizza? Will you safely be able to eat pizza before the game? Do you eat pizza?
Apparently there was not pizza at the women's game per sources.
Yeah. I think you're probably not missing out there. I would
they just, had like other, they had other food, but I forget what it was.
Eat a solid meal before the game. But yeah, we'll have coverage of the game next week. Again, we should know, I didn't want to skip over this, and I think a lot of you know this by now, but that game against St. Joe's that was initially scheduled for December 12th has been postponed. Both programs, this is per St. Joe's release that they put out, both programs have agreed to attempt to reschedule the Big Five matchup on a common date and time down the road. So we'll see if that game happens. Just feels so, just so bizarre by now that there's been no Big Five basketball. You know, just seeing them against Villanova, seeing them against St. Joe's. Sometimes that Nova game gets played later in the season in February, but, you know, nothing against LaSalle. And again, a weird year gets weirder, but as of now, it looks like there will be some basketball. So stay tuned for that. We did have a mailbag question here so far. I think it's kind of a light week for the mailbag. One of the questions here from West Coast Al, will Ty Strickland be ready for the start of the season? Honestly, don't know. I've checked into this, asked around, can't get a straight answer on it. Again, we've talked so many times about the fact that Aaron McKee has been cautious. I'll be a little surprised if Ty plays. Again, the last we heard was that, you know, he was coming back from his shoulder surgery, was doing some non-contact stuff, looked pretty good. We don't have any official word on that. If we get official word on that, it'll be probably closer to the game, but we don't have anything just yet. Obviously a plus if they can get him in there, because if, you know, if, and this is just supposition, if you get Ty Strickland in there and you get him in for 15 or 20 minutes or so, and you see what he can do, and you see a little bit, just a surface level, just scratching the surface of what you have with Ty Strickland, Jeremiah Williams, you know, Brendan Barry had said that he could play the point, but it's just such an interesting look for them this year, because they do have some pieces. How they all fit together during this time where there could be stopping and starting, I don't know. My gut would tell me that Strickland doesn't play, but that is nothing official. He's been working back. You know, we'll see what happens there. All right, so that'll do it for this week. Stay tuned. Like I said, stay tuned to the site throughout the next week. I'll be surprised if there isn't more roster movement, some additions, some subtractions between now and next week on National Signing Day for football. Again, if anything else shakes loose for basketball heading up to the NJIT game, we'll certainly let you know. Thanks for tuning in this week. Hopefully you guys are all safe, happy, and healthy out there, and we will talk to you soon.